Hello and welcome to the podcast segment of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors, journalists, scholars, filmmakers, musicians, and collectors. Anything to do with pop culture and the national pastime. Our slogan, if it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. Hello again, everybody. As you might hear during this introduction, I'm still in the presence and company of my birds, who don't like it when I give too much attention to anything else but them. So if you hear a little chirping in the background, I hope you'll bear with me during this holiday weekend. Now, don't get me wrong, I love all my guests, but once in a while I get to chat with someone outside the usual baseball literary mainstream. That was the case with Scott Simon, host of NPR's Weekend Edition. Yes, Simon, a lifetime Cubs fan, had previously published two books on baseball among his several books, Home and Away, Memoir of a Fan in 2000, and Jackie Robinson and the Integration of Baseball in 2007. And parenthetically, as I'm recording this, it is the 70th anniversary of Robinson's debut in the majors. But My Cubs, a Love Story, the latest in a long line of titles that burst on the scene following last year's World Series, is the one Simon has been waiting a long time to write. Simon has a natural storyteller's voice, but he's usually telling other people's stories. In My Cubs, he gets to express what the team has meant to him, his family, which includes former Cubs announcer Jack Brickhouse and player-manager Jolly Charlie Grimm, and the extended family of fellow fans through thick and thin over the years. Scott Simon, welcome to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, congratulations. How long have you been waiting to write this book?
Wow, let me figure that out. I guess all my life, come to think of it, although if I'd won when I was in the first grade, I think I still would have tried to write a book. I certainly would have written every first and, you know, grammar school essay about the event all my life. And, you know, Cubs fans have been waiting not only all of my lifetime, but the lifetime of my father, the lifetime of my grandfather.
So tell me how this book came to be. I've spoken to a few authors of this latest batch of Cubs books that have, as Yogi Berra might have said, were made necessary by the Cubs winning the World Championship for the first time in so long. And they told me that some of them who are doing basically what could be described as a recap of the season started in August and had to turn this over very, very quickly. Tell me about how your book came to be.
I wouldn't even dare have the idea in my mind until the night that the Cubs won. This book was done very quickly. It was done between, the week of November 3rd, when they actually won on November 2nd, a date, by the way, which is also the 10th birthday of our youngest daughter, so I think it's all tied up in that. And when I finished the manuscript, I guess about January 10th, I wouldn't have dared to begin to write a book about the Cubs while the result of their season was still unknown. A book like this, talking about how this vintage of Cubs are different. They've broken through those old curses. They're, you know, now about to be champions of the world, and they had lost. And I would remind anybody listening, Chris Bryant, a great ball player in all ways, slipped on that last play, didn't he? His peg to first was just a little high. Anthony Rizzo had to go up on his toes. If there'd been an inch difference, there certainly would have been none of these damn Cub books. Point, if I had begun to write this book before that happened, I would blame myself for that play. And that's why I'm a Cubs fan.
Is that the mentality of Cubs fans? I mean, there seems to be this psychology that, you know, you can't change anything. You can't get up. If you're watching, you can't get up and go to another room for a second, because whatever you do will impact on the outcome of the game to the negative for whatever you're rooting for.
It's utterly pathetic, and yes, until recently, that's absolutely been the mentality of Cubs fans. I guess because we just couldn't explain it in any other way, right? We look for comprehensible reasons. It's kind of like ancient man looking into the sky and couldn't figure out what was up there because the concept of stars was beyond us. So we began to, you know, link them together in patterns. That's exactly what Cubs fans have done for decades. I mean, you know, why did a fan try and catch the ball over Moises Alou's glove? It must be because I had turned to my wife 45 seconds before and said, "Darling, we have to get our World Series tickets tomorrow." This is how we function in the world. This is how we're able to put one step in front of the other.
Now, you mentioned how quickly you had to turn this around from starting your manuscript to handing it in. Did it go through a lot of editing processes or no?
It went through a couple of drafts and the usual editing process, but everybody knew we were on a tight deadline. Everybody knew we didn't want to bring this book out, you know, this August. It had to be at the start of the season. So, it was a wonderful experience, and everybody behaved like a true professional. I thought it was great.
Now, when you do...
I should add a group of true professionals who I believe are Yankees fans. So they're familiar with this process. It's the Cubs fan who wasn't.
Now, you this is a memoir, so to
yes.
speak. Because it's a personal, as opposed to a book that requires a lot of research, does that play into the gentle hand of the editor?
Boy, I guess you would have to ask. Him that. The fact that it's a personal memoir, and there is history in it, and there's a description of Cub lineage, and I think great events or great fiascos in Cubs history. I think they have the usual rigor for that. But in family memoirs, I mean, you cannot be present to hear my Aunt Marion anymore, who has been gone a number of years at this point. But so I guess that might be the gentle hand. But the stories I tell about my family in here are pretty well known. I mean, they have been they have been around for years. I talk about Uncle Charlie Grimm, who was married to my Auntie Marion, who had been the Cub first baseman and the manager the last time that they were in the World Series before 2016, when they were in the 1945 World Series. And I talk about his reaction to that, to the Rockwell portrait, the dugout, that was on the cover of the Saturday Evening Post in 1948, where Uncle Charlie thought he looked like a basset hound. I do think I reveal for the first time in this book, it has been known for years, sub rosa, if I might put it this way, that Charlie's ashes were spread somewhere in Wrigley Field, which is something that the team doesn't like to talk about, and they certainly don't like to do, because otherwise the field would be awash in the ashes of Cubs fans. I mean, Ron, if you could guarantee me that my ashes would be spread in Wrigley Field, I might decide, well, now is the time. That's where I exaggerate slightly. But in any event, I do reveal the morning that was done, because I was blessed, and I do mean blessed and always, to be there with my mother and my Auntie Marion when she spread Uncle Charlie's ashes around first base. But, this is something that I have been, I've been talking about this fact for years, and just now in this book reveal what that ceremony was like.
Now, it's interesting. Obviously, you've had this love affair with baseball from childhood. One of the questions I was going to ask, which I will ask, I guess, almost parenthetically, has anything changed in your attitude towards baseball over the years since you were a kid? Have you ever questioned why, at this mature age, you're still a baseball fan?
I don't think I have. I mean, every now and then, after a particularly tough game or a particular turn of events, you think, why the hell am I turning my life and my imagination, my aspirations, and my love on this? But, within 3 or 4 days, I'm back there. I describe how in the book, following what we call the Stephen Bartman incident, which really isn't fair to him. He's a very admirable guy and Cubs fan. I would call it the Moises Alou incident, in the fact that I think when Alou, maybe understandably, slammed down his glove on the ground, I think that got the crowd agitated, which got the players agitated. And I don't really want to call it the Moises Alou incident. I mean, he, is a driven, high-profile professional who had an understandable emotional reaction when he felt he was prevented from catching a ball that would put him an out closer to the World Series. So I do describe in the book how I tried to be very stiff upper lip, and that happened. My wife and I were watching in a, if you please, a bar, And I, you know, I said something like, "Oh, honey, these things happen." You know, I tried to sound and look like I could roll with it. And then the next morning, she found me sobbing in the bathroom. It was pretty early in our marriage, and I was sobbing in the bathroom. My wife is French. And, you know, it was the first indication she got that she'd married a man who would cry over a baseball game. But now she understands that. And I was sobbing, "I didn't know we had a chance this year." It makes me both laugh and cry to think about it even now. And, you know, I think the same thing would have happened if that last play had gone the wrong way this year.
Now, you mentioned your daughter a little while ago. So much of the appeal of baseball is sharing it, passing it on to your children. What was it like sharing it with your kids?
Oh, I mean, this is one of my great parental experiences of all time. We all got swept up in the Cubs' great year and went to games at Wrigley Field. And, you know, almost even more exciting than watching the games with them is watching the way in which the Cubs would, I think, continue to, you know, work their way into their conversation and their aspirations and their hopes and looking forward and their joking with their friends. I mean, one of our oldest daughter's best friends, Eleanor, I don't mind mentioning her name, is a Los Angeles Dodgers fan. And during the season, and then of course they wind up playing each other in the playoffs, and the two of them would go back and forth, and they got special permission from their principal to wear their caps, you know, their Dodgers and Cubs caps during the playoffs. When they went to school. And I just loved that. I just loved the place they made for it in their lives. All of that being said, I was touched by the fact that for our daughters, they expect the Cubs to win, which is something that I didn't, and to a degree still don't even. But the past couple of years, they have grown up expecting the Cubs to win.
Which leads me to my next question. Now that the Cubs have won, will you be satisfied if that was it, or like Red Sox fans who've come to expect a certain degree of performance, will you be dissatisfied if they don't continue? I mean, they've got a very young core of players.
Yes.
And you know, you would hope that barring injury or anything else untoward, they would go on like this for many years. So how would you feel if this is one and done?
Oh, I would feel dreadful. I don't expect that to happen, although I try and be clear-eyed about it. I think the hardest thing to do in professional sports is to repeat a championship, because everybody thinks they figured out how you've done it, and they go about trying to replicate the same kind of magic, or at least prevent you from doing it the second year in a row. It's very tough. I just discovered the other day that you have not had a repeat winner from the National League, I believe, since the Big Red Machine of Johnny Bench and the Cincinnati Reds.
And that's going back to the 70s.
That's going back to the 1970s. So this will be difficult. So I think the core of this Cubs team can win another two or three World Series. Yes. Will I be disappointed if they don't? I guess I'll live with it. But yes, I won't be satisfied until they win, 27, like the Yankees. Finally, I would think that's poetry that we have achieved. But one of the things that Tom Ricketts said to me, and I spent some time with him doing the book, was, you know, after 108 years of losing, I think we're entitled to more than one World Series. And almost any team, that's certainly not true, a team can win the World Series for 1 year and then not repeat it for a while. And I think of the Southside Chicago White Sox, a great victory in 2005, but they weren't, you know, really haven't been in the running thereafter. This is not the team that Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein have designed and put in place. All of that being said, as Tom Ricketts said to me, you get to the World Series, you know, although the great Branch Rickey said luck is the residue of design, you get that far, you realize that luck is also luck. And you have your core lineup of let's say eight field positions and then starters and then key people in who you platoon. Who can say that when it gets to be August and September, how many of them might have a bad knee or a bad ankle or some kind of unaccountable, you know, they were, they twisted their ankle while they were standing in line for a movie with their kids. You know, there all kinds of things can add up that could get in your way. And I must say, one of the things I admire about last year's Cleveland Indians was they got there despite having a number of significant injuries, and they came very close to winning the World Series.
You've written about baseball before. You wrote another memoir, Home and Away, in 2000, and a book about Jackie Robinson in 2007. What's different about this book? This book is much more personal to you, isn't it?
Yeah, this book is much more personal to me. I mean, I talk about my father, who had a drinking problem, and was very much in my mind part of a core community of Cub constituents, if I might put it that way. People who would watch Cub games in bars in the middle of the afternoon over melting scotches and beers. But, of course, the Cubs were entertainment in the middle of the afternoon, not only in the city of Chicago, but after WGN began to carry the broadcast nationwide, really all around the country. I talk about him, I talk about Uncle Charlie, I talk about my godfather, Jack Brickhouse, the great Chicago Cubs announcer. And my father was, I was 16 when my father died, and Uncle Jack really tried to step in and try to be a kind of father figure to me. It was Uncle Jack who taught me that a classy guy picks up the check. You know, that's something I learned from my Uncle Jack, a very valuable lesson in life. And, yes, so this book is very personal, but, you know, the Cubs are a very personal thing on the north side of Chicago. When I was a kid and going to grammar school and high school, and windows would be open in April and September when we'd begin school, you could hear cheers and more often groans from Wrigley Field. It's in our lifeblood, and it amazes me, I've got to say, Ron. You've got all these, I think, in many ways, beautiful new ballparks that are being built around the country. The one we've been to the most, I guess, probably both Camden Yards in Baltimore and then the one in San Francisco, they're built to resemble Wrigley Field. And yet they're not Wrigley Field because although they're beautiful ballparks, they're not really in a neighborhood, you know? They're surrounded by acreage and parking and, you know, in the case of San Francisco, they're on the outskirts of a kind of renewed downtown. There, you know, there are some apartments around, but they're just built high-ticket co-ops. Wrigley Field is in the middle of a real neighborhood, and the relationship between the neighborhood and the club is something quite extraordinary, really, in American sports.
Finally, I just want to ask, you've obviously had a successful career outside of and in broadcasting. Why do you write? I'm assuming you're not doing it for the money, because there's not a whole lot of money to be made in authoring anymore. So why do you write?
Well, I find it a natural form of expression. I also write because I have children. I have done 7 books since our children came into our life. And, you know, broadcasting can be an ephemeral thing, in one ear and out the other. And it gives me some pleasure that our daughters can point to a small bookshelf, and they can see books about Jackie Robinson, and they can see a book about the Siege of Sarajevo, a novel I did called Pretty Birds. They can see a book called Windy City, a novel about the Chicago City Council. They can see the book I did called Unforgettable about my last days with my mother. They can see this book, My Cubs, about the Chicago Cubs, and they can say to each other, they can say to their friends, this is what my father loved. This is what he cared about. This is what he tried to do with his life.
And we have been talking with Scott Simon, author of My Cubs, A Love Story. Scott, thanks very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure to be with you.
And that was the Baseball Bookshelf Conversation with Scott Simon. Tune in again next time when our guest will be Dan Schlossberg, author of the new baseball Bible, Notes, Nuggets, Lists, and Legends from Our National Pastime. And now we come to the shameless self-promotion part of the podcast, in which I remind you that my book, Hank Greenberg in 1938, Hatred and Home Runs in the Shadow of War, will be dropping on April 25th. I recently had the opportunity to do my first interview for that book with Peter Anthony Holder of The Stuff Files, a podcast based in Montreal. And we had a nice time chatting about that fair city where my family hails from, so I have a lot of fond memories of that place. Also want to tell you that I will be appearing at the Bergino Baseball Clubhouse in Manhattan on May 3rd. Visit Bergino.com to RSVP. Jay Goldberg is the proprietor there. It's always a wonderful experience. Knowledgeable fans and friends come down, and I think you'll have a good time, but I think you do have to RSVP. So that wraps it up for this week. Thanks again, everybody. Enjoy your week. Talk to you soon.
said, boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Tea is a wonderful game.
A little bit of shameless self-promotion. I have a new book coming out at the end of April. It's called Hank Greenberg in 1938, Hatred and Home Runs in the Shadow of War. I do hope you'll pick that up at some point along your baseball reading journeys. In the meantime, thanks for listening and tune in again soon. So long, everybody.